You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn. And that is Sotto Voce, the quartet, with two euphoniums and two tubas, performing the song Power, written by John Stevens. Why? Well, we recently received a question from a listener, Elizabeth Renner from Madison, and she asked,
why are tubas such a prominent part of the UW-Madison band, and why are they so popular in the state of Wisconsin?
Great question, Elizabeth. John Stevens is a longtime tuba performer and composer. In 1985, he joined the faculty of the UW-Madison School of Music, where he led one of the most prestigious low brass studios in the country. He was the tubist with the Wisconsin Brass Quintet and served as the director of the School of Music for 7 years. He retired from the university in 2014 and is now professor emeritus. And he wrote the piece we were just listening to. And Mike Forbes is just one of John's former students at UW and a performer on that recording. He currently plays principal tuba with La Crosse, Beloit, Janesville, and Manitowoc Symphonies, and leads Wisconsin's premier large brass ensemble, the Isthmus Brass. He also teaches low brass at UW-La Crosse. Central Time producer Tim Peterson talked with them about Elizabeth's tuba questions.
So before we get to the Madison Marching Band, let's first talk about the popularity of tubas in Wisconsin. John, how did tubas get their start in the Badger State?
I think there's actually a lot of things that led to the popularity these days. The basic German culture of the state, I think, has a lot to do with it. Polka bands, bands and beer, if you will. The musical influences from the German culture have been a big part of that. Then there's also a strong Civil War band tradition in the state that I think all these years later still has sort of carried on. The Broadhead Brass Band, for example, was one of the more well-known bands in the Civil War era. And so that and the German culture and certainly what's happened here at UW-Madison with the popularity statewide of the marching band in particular, you know, people see the tubas and sousaphones all the time and, you know, it's just that's now become part of the culture as well.
And Mike, you've been playing with symphonies around the state you're currently playing. Could you talk a little bit more about the sort of statewide popularity at the local level?
Sure. There's something about the Midwest and bands in general that they're just much more proliferated around here than they are out east. For example, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and we still have a strong Germanic culture there as well. But somehow the community bands aren't as present as they are in the Midwest. Every little town has its own unique community band or orchestra even. And in this case, I think a lot of the orchestras I play with kind of grew out of what was a community orchestra and then has become more of a professional orchestra. Say, for example, the one in La Crosse and Manitowoc. A lot of this tradition just started, I think, again, from what John was mentioning, that early immigrant idea of having every town having its own brewery, its own band, and its own culture in its little area. Because, you know, travel was difficult, of course, back in those days. Today, we don't even think about crossing the state in a heartbeat. But back in those days, with horse-drawn carriages, you got your entertainment in your local community.
And Mike, our question asker Elizabeth, who moved to Madison a year ago, says since coming here, she feels like everyone she knows someone who plays a tuba, or everyone's dad plays a tuba. Does that sound pretty accurate to you?
Absolutely. I teach actually about 20 students here in the Madison area in private lessons, and about half of those are kids whose dad played the tuba. So there is something to be said about that. Also, anytime I go out and do like a little clinic for kindergartners, I can't tell you, as soon as I come in the door, all these hands shoot up. It's, oh, my dad plays that. And then I said, oh, yeah, what's it called? And they say, it's a trumpet. I'm like, no, it's a tuba. So there is some confusion sometimes.
Can we circle back to this polka music? How important is the tuba to polka?
I think the tuba is the largest, shiniest, most obvious visual instrument in any polka band. I think that actually has a lot to do with the popularity. I might make the analogy to, you know, the elephants at the zoo. I mean, it's an instrument that catches people's eye and their ear. Also, it's playing the bass line. It's playing something that is going on every second of every piece. Mm. You know, I mean, people sing the melodies, but I think there's also this, we all sort of feel this bass line when we're listening to a polka band or a rock band or any kind of band. And the association with the tuba or the sousaphone or both really resonates literally inside of people.
And Mike, you have brought a special guest to the studio, your tuba. Would you mind playing just a little example of this polka bass line?
Sure. I mean, it's just oscillating between sort of what, if you're any kind of a musician, the tonic and dominant for the most part. Something like that.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mike. And we are talking with Mike Forbes, professional tuba player for multiple symphonies in Wisconsin and a low brass teacher at UW-La Crosse. We're also joined by John Stevens, a longtime tuba performer and composer and emeritus professor of music at UW-Madison. And we're answering a Wisconsin question about the popularity of tubas in Wisconsin and the prominence of that instrument in the UW-Madison marching band. And John, let's pivot to talking about that band. Again, our question asker, Elizabeth, was in awe seeing more than two dozen sousaphone players in UW's band compared with a much smaller number in her band when she was in high school. Why is this instrument such a prominent part of the Badger Band?
Well, this goes back quite a long way. The two most recent directors of the Badger Marching Band put together probably make up something pretty close to a century. Ray Dvorak and then Mike LaCrone have been, you know, at the helm of this group for a long, long time. And there have been various stages over the years of the way they used individual instrument sections. I think back in the 50s, the individual, like the trumpets or the trombones or the sousaphones would go into the stands and play and everything. And Mike LaCrone certainly took that tradition and made the most of it in terms of the sousaphone march thing that they do. And again, I think all the things that we've already been talking about contribute to this. They are front and center in the musical part of those football games every week. And, you know, when I first moved here in the 1980s, the UW football program was not especially at the high end of its competency. Mike actually put a lot of the current traditions into place back then, because, and that's when the whole marching band thing became so popular because, to be honest, for quite a few years there, it was the best thing that people saw and heard at the football game. And so people, when you see a number of sousaphone players walk into a stadium, it's a visual and visceral kind of thing in addition to the sound that you're hearing. So I think folks just, they just love to see it. You know, there's a little bit, the tuba or the sousaphone are kind of underdog instruments too. And, you know, around a lot of the country, the place where we live here in Wisconsin is often referred to as one of the flyover states. So there's a little bit of an underdog attitude perhaps about that too. I just think it's a natural, as Mike said before, here in the Midwest, the fit between the way people consider the tuba and where we live is a good one.
And Mike, you have taught players who have been in this band and learned a little bit more about the section. What else can you tell us?
Well, I know that they affectionately call these sousaphones rhinos because of the gigantic horn, you know, so that's and they love that idea. And I think another thing that John was kind of hinting at was that this sousaphone section, which, just for your listener to understand, the tuba is a little different looking than a sousaphone. The tuba is kind of sits on your lap and the bell points upward, whereas a sousaphone wraps around your body and you have the gigantic bell facing right out at the audience. But again, you heard me play some of that polka music where it's kind of this oscillation of two notes. It gets quite boring after a time. But, you know, the sousaphones, what made them really special, I think, or the rhinos, I should call them, is that they would actually play, you know, on Wisconsin and these other songs, and they'd actually play the main theme. They'd play the melody. So that was, of course, a hoot. Then when you hear essentially a bass line instrument all of a sudden get their hands on a melody and just squash it, you know, that's that's a lot of fun to listen to from an audience
it's
perspective.
Like a rhino would.
Exactly, exactly.
And some other tuba trivia I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't talk about was, John, you also taught me something as we were setting up this interview, that tuba almost became the official state instrument of Wisconsin.
Yes, that's right. I moved here in 1985, but in 1984, a state senator, I think his name was Carl Otte, proposed that the tuba become the Wisconsin state instrument. My understanding is that eventually the bill sort of died before it got anywhere. And I also understand that a number of years later, somebody wanted to do the same thing with the accordion. And that also, I don't want to say that it failed, it just sort of never got off the ground. So to the best of my knowledge, there is no official Wisconsin state instrument, but who knows, the day may come where the beloved tuba may have that honor.
I think it's a great place to leave it. Thank you so much, John and Mike.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Elizabeth Renner, we are so glad you asked, why Wisconsin? That was Mike Forbes, professional tubist and low brass teacher at UW-La Crosse, and John Stevens, longtime tuba performer and composer and professor emeritus of music at UW-Madison. Our own Tim Peterson talked with them about the prominence and popularity of the tuba at UW and throughout Wisconsin. This conversation came to us from an audience question as part of the Why Wisconsin Project. And we invite you to submit all your curiosities. What do you want to know about where we live and what happens here, whether it has to do with our brass, our football team, or maybe a little more on the accordion as our state instrument? What do you say? Submit your question, and we might answer it in a future story. Just go to wpr.org/Wisconsin. That's wpr.org/Wisconsin.